We're going to start differently. You know, we've never done a membership drive at the House of Scripture. Have we?
No.
Jim, have we ever done one?
Yep.
Scott? You know, Eric. Elling?
No.
No, we've never done one. Well, guess what? We're doing a membership drive. Not to get new members. See this thing? It's a thing called a brochure. It's on the back table, and there's the same amount that I put out last May when we moved into the building. That tells me nobody reads, but I know you're Messianics, and Messianics don't read. We like to listen to audio Bible, right? So this is the deal I'm going to make with you. This outlines what we believe, why we believe it. It outlines what you can expect from us and what we hope for from you. It outlines a few minor guidelines, and it's good information, because if you're going to plant somewhere, you ought to know what they believe and what they stand for. Amen? So I want every single person in here, whether you read it or not, to take one of these home with you. And if you feel like this place is worth calling your home, I want you to sign it anywhere. Sign it. You know, when you sign something, it's like a commitment, right? And then take it and file it in your filing cabinet. You know, and he knows. I don't need to know. We don't need you on a log, but we need you to know what we expect of you, what you should expect from us, and we're here from you. And I'm going to go one step further. A lot of you didn't know this, but Cornelia and I do counseling and deliverance ministry. A lot of people will travel to Alaska or different places to get that. We do that here. We do it for free. We do it for free because our goal is to get people delivered.
Yes.
Now, unfortunately, a lot of people don't want deliverance. That's a sad reality. But we do counseling. Cornelia has been trained in asking the right questions and digging. I've studied the scriptures for 10 years. That doesn't qualify me in the doctorly realm, but that should get a hallelujah if nothing else does. Amen? Okay. So with that said, let's get started. And this is a little bit of an echo, isn't it? Oh, well, we'll make through it. Being set apart seems to be the theme, doesn't it?
Yep.
And I don't normally do anything in the Torah portions. I leave that to the guys. But, you, Jim, you didn't mention the one part because we only give you 20 minutes. And so, all right, I'm going to go there. Guys, I'm going to ruin it for you. I am going to ruin it for you, and afterwards you're not going to like me for this, but sorry. When we give somebody a timeline, like our wife when we're traveling, when we give them a timeline, say we have to leave by 8:30, that's code for 9 o'clock. But we tell them 8:30 because then we're usually leaving by 9:15, 9:30. And if we said we want to leave at 9, it would be 10 or 10:30. So when I tell you guys 20 minutes, I know you're all going to go over. It's okay. You don't have to keep blaming me. I'm not cracking the whip. You guys cracked the whip on yourself. So, but this whole thing with being set apart, you know, is in the last few Torah portions, actually more than the last few, have been pretty awesome. Yeah. I mean, we're hearing some stuff here, and I'm not trying to be prideful, but I am a little bit prideful of the guys that we have teaching up here. We're hearing some stuff you don't hear from other places. We're getting some meat here that is really can help those who have ears to grow and mature. So when it says in Leviticus 24 that they had to take that one person out because he blasphemed the name of God, do you know how you can blaspheme the name of God in modern day terms? You could say, I belong to him. I go to Shabbat services at House of Scripture or to the synagogue down here. I love Yeshua. And then you go live a life that's totally disrespectful to what he's asked us to live. You're blaspheming the name of God without even speaking a word. That's just something to think about. And we're going to get into the fourth part of the hidden agenda. And a lot of you are going like, how many parts are this? This is the final part, so relax. It's the last one. And if you're like me, I'm glad it's over. I didn't want to do this in the first place. I told you that week one, didn't I?
Yeah.
Am I making that up? I told you, right, Claudia? I said, I didn't want to do it. God said, I'm not really interested in what you want to do. Hallelujah. So let's wrap this up so we can move on to something else really severe that you won't like. So, I don't know. I found this quote And it didn't have an author, but I wrote it down because I thought it was really fitting for today's time. And it said, it's not real long, it's short. It says, of all the species on planet Earth, only humans murder their own children, and then they celebrate it. Only humans poison their own food supply with pesticides and herbicides, and then brag about corporate profits. Only humans celebrate the maiming of the genitalia and coerce gender confusion of their own offspring. No other species on the entire planet is so insane and stupid. On top of that, the human race is engaged in widespread ecological destruction, microplastics, pollution of the oceans, runaway pollution of soils and waterways, and continued nuclear weapons testing that unleashes radiostopes across the planet. Now, I'm just going to assume they're really bad because I don't know what they are.
Tom, if you could pull your mic up, that's what's going to
happen. That better? Okay. I'm willing to try anything. The last one was, if aliens are watching human civilization, they must have already concluded the human race is too stupid and reckless to exist. I read this online. I thought, how apropos. Of course, we don't believe in aliens here, at least I don't. Don't want to spoil your party, if that's what you believe. But I do believe in the demonic realm, and I do believe people see things. And whatever they are, it doesn't really matter because we're focused on aliens. And there are a lot of people out there that are really focused on this coming alien invasion. They don't realize the bigger threat is already here. It's called humans. And they live on the planet. So rather than focus on sensationalism, the frozen Nephilim in the Antarctica, the coming space invasion, or the kryptonite that was just recently found on planet My Mind Is Mush, we need to focus on what's happening right here on planet Earth, in our neighborhoods, right here in Georgia. We need to focus on the fact that we belong to the winning team, or at least you should be if you're coming here. Right? See, the way I look at it, there's no scenario on planet Earth that Yeshua doesn't end up the king in Jerusalem. That's, am I out of line for that? Okay, good. We're all on the same page. But see, understanding that he wins and knowing that we're supposed to be focused on his kingdom doesn't mean we don't pay attention to what's going on in the world. See, that's a common misnomer. So many people are like, oh, I'm not worried. You know, he's going to take me out. I'm going to be totally protected. You know, well, that's well and good. And I don't blame you for praying for that, but we should be prepared and understand what's going on. So we know that Yeshua will come and he will establish himself as king. And that is going to happen with some sort of a skirmish. I don't think it's going to be much of a skirmish. I think he's just going to step on the Mount of Olives and things are going to happen and the people that are in his way are going to get out of the way. I don't think we're going to have to fight in that battle. And I think it's going to be a quick battle. Everybody's got their own view on that. But number two, there's a second war that we're going to need to fight, and that is the war for your soul. And I brought this up a few weeks ago, and it's critical because Satan knows he's lost the war. But he's convinced these world leaders who aren't as bright as they seem to be, they're not as bright as their degrees would lead them to be. Most of them know the scriptures, yet they still have bought into Satan's lie that he can win this battle. And Satan is after your soul. I said something probably in 2015. Elling might remember it. He's one of the few, maybe Rich and Christiana. I said, you know, if salvation is the door, Satan doesn't care if you miss the door by 20 feet or if you miss it by 6 inches. He doesn't care. He just doesn't want you there. He's trying to keep you from being a part of God's kingdom. And if he can't win that battle and he knows you're going to make it and you're going to persevere, what's he going to try to do? He's going to try to make you completely ineffective for God's kingdom. That's why we're in a battle. The battle isn't just so we can preserve ourselves. It's so we can help others and preserve others. We want to be effective for God's kingdom. I think that's what bearing fruit's all about. We talked about in the men's room. So, you got two reasons to be in this war, and you need to be paying attention. The preparation that you do, both spiritually and physically, is not just for you. See, we are not designed to be doing life just about us. It's not only about how we live and how we survive in our family. It's about others. And that's what we should all be about in the house of Scripture. That's why we're supposed to be community, not individual-minded. So, unfortunately, it's time to wake up and smell the manure that the new world order is spreading. Because that's about what it is like. So we're going to talk about a few more things this week, and then we're going to wrap it up with some hope at the end. So for those of you that are like, I don't like the downer message, it's hope.
That's right?
True. Remember what Yeshua said? These things must take place.
Yes.
So here we are. 3 months ago, I told you all you think you see and know about Ukraine is not what it appears. Does anybody remember that statement?
Yes.
Ooh, did that get a little bit of flack? What do you mean, Tom? CNN is clearly telling us exactly what's going on in Ukraine. And Fox News is right along with them. And if we can't trust Fox News, who can we trust, Tom? Now, they didn't come to me, but I heard this through the grapevine from different people. So let's talk a little bit about Russia, because everybody is telling you that Putin is evil and Russia is evil and this is all Russia's fault. And I'm not here to defend Russia or Putin, because believe it or not, I've never met him. Okay? So I don't know. But I am going to share a few things with you about Ukraine that may lead you to understand that it's not always what it seems to be. And there's a purpose for me sharing this, and we'll get to it in about 10, 15 minutes. So maybe Putin is evil, and maybe he is corrupt, and maybe he has a lot of issues, but what about the dozens of illegal bioweapon labs that are in Ukraine that the United States is supporting, and it's really part of the whole New World Order? Do you think that may upset him? What if Russia was putting up 50, 60 bioweapons labs in Mexico and in Canada near our borders? Do you think that might upset us?
No.
Under the administration, and they are not the only ones that have done this, so I'm not picking on them, but under that administration, they put in a puppet government in the Ukraine. If you go back and you really study out the true history of what happened, the real leader of Ukraine was deposed because he wouldn't go along with the New World Order's agenda. So he was deposed and a puppet was put in place, and since then we've had two more. The latest one is a comedian, actor, turned politician with no political experience. Now he looks like a nice guy on TV, he's very well spoken, but I really don't know. Things you won't hear on CNN, I'm going to share a couple things with you, because believe it or not, I'm not an expert in this area. I know that shocks a few of you, but I just use a little common sense, do a little digging on the outside of the normal mainstream medias, and you find a few things that are pretty shocking. Russia and China are the two largest holdouts to the New World Order. See, the United States, the western part of Europe, and all of the British colonies, which would be like Australia, South Africa, different places where they've said, they're all on board with the New World Order. But Russia and China want nothing to do with it. And how it'll all play out, I have no idea, but those are the two big ones, and they happen to be two very large countries. China would not want to be a part of this. Why? Because China already is the largest country on earth population-wise, and they're very close to surpassing the U.S. as the largest economy in the world. The difference between the Communist Party in Russia, the one that was still there and probably is still part of the socialism, and the Communist Party in China is very simple. Communist Party in China wants victory through forced coercion, whereas Russia at one time believed that they could just demonstrate the superiority of communism to the world. Now, this is going back quite a bit, and it's going back to my school years, but the bottom line is China wants to dominate the world. That's evident. Anybody can see that clearly. So how the New World Order gets them involved is anybody's guess. My bet is going to be that it's going to be some sort of coercion. It's going to be some sort of payoff, because I don't think anybody wants to get in a fight with China. 1.4 billion people probably have more arms and weapons than any other country on earth, and they are very unpredictable. But what about Russia? What does Russia have to lose? Why would they be involved in this, what I'm going to call a smokescreen war? Well, Russia happens to be surrounded by Ukraine, Eastern Europe, and then you have right up at the north, you have the three northern, I don't know what they call them, the Nordic states. So you got Finland, Sweden, and Norway. Now, if any of those countries happen to join NATO, what that means is they are completely surrounded by NATO forces. Russia has 47 million people in their country compared to 147 million compared to 1.4 billion in China. China doesn't have to worry as much as Russia does. Russia might be fighting for their own sovereignty. But yet we have most of the Western world, almost all Christians, almost all Jews, all proclaiming evil Russia is just trying to overtake Ukraine. And see, the reason I brought this up is often history is what you're told it is, not what is reality. And throughout history, we've been sold a bill of goods in a lot of areas. So as we move forward, NATO is really the one world order, and we have already been lockstep in it, and they want to have a one world government. If you read the book of Revelation, it's going to be a one world government. So what do you do when you have countries that don't want to get involved? You've got to find a way around it. With Russia, they may be trying to force it. With China, I think they're going to have to buy their way out of it. We will see. All I know is the book of Revelation is playing out before our very eyes, and we're delirious, paying no attention, and just thinking it's just a war between two people that doesn't matter to you and me at all. I think Russia's acting out of self-preservation. We'll see. And what is their strategies? I don't know. Ask Scott at Oneg. He's the strategist, right? Scott will tell you, right? Sorry, Scott. Put one on you. There's no question innocent Ukrainians are dying. It always happens when these big elite powers try to do something that's either financially motivated or a political endgame. People die. Innocent people. It's tragic. I hate saying it. I'm sure all of you do. But don't be so quick to jump on the media bandwagon. Because I might be tempted to ask you, have you never seen propaganda before? Propaganda is what causes people to blindly follow the government, and we don't want to be guilty of that. Besides that, we have millions of Ukrainians that actually want Russia to take back over. They're tired of the puppet government. They had life much better when Russia was in charge. Maybe not every Ukrainian, but certainly quite a few of them. See, if you look deep into this, we'll see that there's something going on behind the scenes that we're not always aware of. So here are a few things that you were told and the truth versus reality on this whole. And I'm just touching on a few. I know you can come up to me afterwards and tell me 10 more, but I'm just touching on a few. So this is what the mantra that's being put out there is. The war on Ukraine is going to upset the global wheat market. Anybody heard that? My answer is no. Destroying our crops at home is destroying the global wheat market. When you start plowing up millions of acres of our own wheat crops, that destroys the wheat market. This is a ruse. It's a smokescreen. The war on Ukraine is causing high fuel prices. It's Putin's fault. Anybody heard that? It's on the news all the time. You got all these liberal media trying to point the finger over there. No, it's the liberal agenda of closing safe pipelines, destroying fuel processing facilities, and artificially inflating prices to cause hyperinflation.
That's right.
And there's a purpose for that. Number three, the war on Ukraine is causing energy prices to skyrocket. Now, I'm talking about here in America, right? Because I don't really know what's being said around the world, and that's my focus is here. No, the greed at home is causing that because you know what? We don't rely on Russia for oil or for energy. We have more oil here than anywhere else on Earth. Did you guys realize that the highest producing oil field in the world is here in America? In the Permian Basin of Texas. It outproduces the Saudi Arabia field. So why are we so consumed with this? Why are the prices skyrocketing? Greed and an agenda. There's a purpose in it. Researchers have also found what they believe could be the largest oil field ever discovered underneath the Rocky Mountains, and they're never going to touch it. You know why? And I gotta read this because this one you wouldn't believe if I told. It's because of the spotted snow leopard snail. All right, I made that up. It's an environmental concern. They don't want to touch the Rocky Mountains. It's going to ruin everything. Why? Do you know how many times they've built pipelines and stuff without messing up the whole environment? That was the argument in Anwar, right? Remember that? And they put all these pictures of polar bears and everything until you go to Anwar and it's a desert. Nothing's there. No, it's up in Alaska. No, it wasn't bothering anything. This is what they do, but they have an agenda. The war on Ukraine, though, has caused some real problems, that's for sure. Getting nickel from Russia is now forbidden by many countries, and nickel is used in a lot of things. You know, I sell signs in my business, and we use nickel in the aluminum. It gets mixed together, and that creates a sign. So guess what? Prices are skyrocketing. Tin cans? Anybody buy food with tin cans? Prices on that's going up just because of the can pricing. Here's another one that's going to be made harder by the war in Ukraine. The CIA is going to have a much harder time smuggling in opioids into America to sell so they can fund their illegal operations worldwide. But I'm confident that they will find a way to pull it off anyway. You don't think this stuff's true? Go do some real research. You'll find out this is absolutely going on. And I'm sure they're going to love me for that one. It's certainly making things tougher in Europe. Now, they do rely on Russia. They do receive a lot of their natural gas and their oil from Russia. So it's putting a hurt on them. But right here in America, we're spewing this stuff as if we know it's fact, and we don't even know what we're talking about. The talking heads of the news. It's a smokescreen for a lot of things. But you know what else is being accomplished? We're dumping mass amounts of our ammunition and our war machines and the things that we have to defend ourselves. It's going to Ukraine. Yeah. So guess what we end up with? A woke sissy military that's even more useless than it was a year or two ago. You know, I don't say that with disrespect. Some of you served in the military, and we have some of the most amazing men, but that was a generation ago. Yeah. You know, the people who served our country faithfully a year ago is not the same military we have today. And it's not a disrespect to the ones who are serving that have the right heart and attitude. But I'm telling you what these generals are doing, what our government is doing is embarrassing. It's driving up inflation to near record levels. I don't know what point it gets to where we go like, Carter, you were pretty good. Yeah. But what's happening is America's middle class is suffering the most. The very people that put these people in office that hate you are destroying those people in record numbers. And we don't ever wake up. One of the things that was said today in the men's room, it's been said for hundreds of years, we keep on doing the same thing, expecting a different result. And I'm sorry, this is not a political statement. It's just you got to stop voting for people who hate you. The middle class is going to be decimated by this if it goes much longer, and probably the upper middle class is not far behind. If you think you're safe because you got $200,000 or $300,000 in the bank, think again. Klaus Schwab wants everyone to own nothing and be happy. I don't know about you. My life and my happiness is not predicated on what I own, but I don't want to own nothing so he can own everything. You know what I mean? That's called a serf system, and that's one of the things we escaped in England. If you do your research, one of the things in England was the taxation level. It was so high, the people were poor. It was them, a little small group, and then it was all of us down here starving to death as what we were called serfs, servants, slaves. And I don't know about you, but I'm a slave to no one except Yeshua Messiah. Amen? Amen. The New World Order will not tolerate anyone with allegiance to anyone else. So if you think you can serve God and just skate by with them, it's not going to happen like that. They want, and the beast of Revelation wants 100% loyalty. And we give that to only one person, and that is Messiah Yeshua, our Creator God, Jehovah. The book of Revelation today is becoming more of a reality than it is a prophetic utterance about the future. And what was utter nonsense 2,000 years ago and incomprehensible, we're starting to see with more and more clarity almost daily and weekly as we move on. Psalm number 2 I believe, was written for today's generation. In the first three verses, it says this: why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against Jehovah and his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast their cords from us. You see, what's going on right now is utter rebellion against God and his word. It's spearheaded by Satan, but he's got people to go along with it. And do you know how many Christians and messianics are lockstep with the New World Order? Do you know how many churches and synagogues are right there with the New World Order? It's embarrassing. God has given you every possible scenario for you to succeed. It all comes down to this: are you going to choose to submit to his authority, or are you going to rebel and be caught, like we talked about today, in rebellion and be guilty of witchcraft? Because Psalm 2 goes on to say, he who sits in heaven laughs. Jehovah holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. See, his plan is not going to be stopped. Just like Jim said, when he spoke, things took place.
Yes, sir.
When the word of God goes out, it comes to pass. When he wrote this in the scriptures through the prophets long ago, it will come to pass and it will not be thwarted. At House of Scripture, we're not afraid to tackle these subjects, because what else are we here for? You know, I mean, if you just wanted to feel good, I'd just tell you to watch Joel Osteen. You know, every time you watch that guy, you just want to smile and like give me a bonbon and like I can just fall off asleep. But he does make you feel good. He's probably a nice guy. I love you, Joel. Do you think he'd ever watch one of these?
Yeah.
As we stated in part two, if you know of places like that, the places that feed you donuts, the places that refuse to touch on the subjects, how much more clear can we be? Run. Stay away from them. It's a death trap, and it will suck you in. I'm not talking about places that love God and are teaching the truth. Maybe they just don't go quite as far. I'm talking about the patty cake places where they serve donuts and all. Every week is an encouraging word, make you feel good, and they do it just the way you want, and you love their music. It's so nice. That's a death trap. Satan set that up. So, unfortunately, let's talk a little bit about vaccines, but I'm not going to talk about the COVID vaccine much. We're going to talk about some other vaccines. And again, I'm going to make this declaration because I mean this with all my heart. This is no condemnation if you've had the vaccine, the one for today. Unfortunately, I had vaccines when I was a kid. They just ran you through the ringer. I think in 1959 is a little less than today. So there's no condemnation, but here's the deal. Once you learn some truth, then you do have something that you're going to have to be held accountable to, because, you know, they want you to keep going with this thing. See, unfortunately, I hate to break the bad news to you, but the New World Order is just getting warmed up. So let's pay attention. In America, history is what they tell you it is. I touched on that a little while ago. Facts, the true facts, unfortunately, have very little to do with our history. And often it turns out that the facts are left out of our history books. So to illustrate that, I'm going to tell you just a fast story. We went to a trade show in San Antonio 7 years ago. Anybody ever been to San Antonio? Anybody ever been to the Alamo? Couple? Elling? Anybody else? Okay, Claudia, you've been to the Alamo. So when I enjoyed history when I was in school. And we learned about the war between Mexico and Texas and how the other states rallied to it. It was, remember Davy Crockett? You know, I mean, when I was a kid, all I ever wanted was a coonskin hat and a rifle, and I got neither, and I'm very bitter about it. No, I think I'm healed of that, but it was my hero. I love Davy Crockett. He went to fight at the Alamo. And I was given this lesson when I was in school about how it all went down. And then I get to the Alamo, and we start on this tour, and there's this American guy. He's probably 70 years old, and he's doing this tour, very friendly. And he starts telling a story I didn't have in my history lessons when I grew up in school. And he's telling the story about how Mexico gave the land for free to anyone that would come and tend to it and grow crops and build businesses, because they wanted to get some taxation from that work. And from what I understand, it was quite reasonable. I think he said it was either 10 or 15%. They're saying, here's free land. You can come get 50, 100 acres. All we're asking is you give us some tax off that land. And they came and they signed these contracts and they gave them free land. And they came and they flourished and they turned it into good crops. But as too many Americans were finding out have been guilty of in the past, they decided we want our land. Kind of like we want our cake and eat it too. We want our land, but we don't want to pay taxes to this government. But we don't want to give up our land either. We've made and established ourselves. So the war broke out. See, I hadn't heard that story. Probably most of you hadn't heard that story. Because history is what they tell you it is. And I said that to say this. What about the vaccines? And I'm talking about the start of the vaccines. Could it be possible that the vaccines and the history behind them are not exactly what they've told us? So for the next 10 minutes, I'm going to give you just some brief information that you can find easily on your own if you want to bypass the major media and just do a little digging. And I'm going to give you a couple scenarios and a couple names. You can dig on this for yourself. So my question to start this is, what if history isn't correct on how the vaccines have helped us over the years? Because I was under the impression that vaccines only became corrupt recently. That's truly where I was a number of years ago. I thought, well, back when the polio vaccine was around, surely that eradicated polio. And then what about the vaccines that came before that and the Spanish flu vaccine? Those were when the doctors were really honest. Dr. Sal Martingano stated this. A few years ago, I came across a book by Eleanor McBean, Vaccination, the Silent Killer. McBean provides evidence not only that was historical, but that the events of the 1918 Spanish flu were compromised, as well as those of the polio and the swine flu epidemics. Eleanor McBean, just so you know, was a reporter, and she was an unvaccinated survivor of the 1918 outbreak, and later she became an author. And she set it upon herself to do the research, having the background of a reporter, to find out the facts and the details behind this. This is what got Dr. Martingano highly interested in it, and here's one of his quotes. Autopsies after World War I proved that the 1918 flu was not a flu at all. It was caused by random dosages of an experimental bacterial meningitis vaccine, which to this day mimics flu-like symptoms. The massive multiple assaults with additional vaccines on the unprepared immune system of soldiers and civilians created a killing field. Those that were not vaccinated were never affected. Now, I'm not going to read one person's analogy and say that's absolute. All I'm saying is history is not always what you read. Do some research on your own. You may want to read that book. Find out how much evidence there is. Because we did find out that the flu was never even identified as a flu till 1930. So why do they call it 1918 something the Spanish flu? Why do they call it that when it had nothing to do with Spain or anything Spanish? What is going on? Or was it a smokescreen for something else? See, the real flu we know of today kills between 20 and 80,000 people a year, and that's just here in America. That's the flu. And guess what? The flu, the majority, the majority are very young or very old. And of the people in the middle age, the vast majority of those that end up dying is because they have comorbidities. The basic result is if you are 20, 30, 40 years old and you're pretty healthy, it's a very small percentage that the flu is going to kill you. Yet, during this 1918 outbreak, the vast majority of people dying were 20, 30, and 40 years old. A lot of the young and the older people weren't suffering from this. The military gave the vaccine first at Fort Riley, Kansas, where the first outbreaks were happening. A lot of those people went off to serve war, and they spread it around the world. So is it possible that maybe what we were told about the history of the Spanish flu is not really true at all? Because according to McBean, she believes the vast majority, if not all, the people who died were vaccinated. It's 100 years old. You do the research for yourself. But here's what we do know. Back at that time, pharmaceutical companies were fledgling. There was a couple that, from my research, that maybe started in the late 1800s, but right around the early 1900s when they were just getting started to really become companies. And guess who was backing the one that produced the vaccine for the Spanish flu? I'm going to read this so I get it right. The Rockefeller Institute for Medical Research. Is that a red flag for anyone? If the evidence is accurate and you do your own research, the vaccination of a vast amount of people under false pretenses did not start 18 months ago. It started over 100 years ago. Let's fast forward to my favorite one, polio, because I used to say if they ever had a vaccine like the polio, I'd take that. Well, that was then. This is now. In 2020, even the Washington Post, a very liberal newspaper, had this headline in it: the tainted polio vaccine that sickened and fatally paralyzed children in 1955. And the statement under it was, it was one of the worst biological disasters in American history. The article goes on to report this, and this should shock you, maybe not. The article reports that on August 30th, 1954, Bernice Eddy, a veteran scientist at the National Institute of Health in Bethesda, Maryland, was checking a batch of the new polio vaccine for safety. She discovered that the vaccine actually would give people polio and not assist them from keep them from getting it. She found live cultures of the polio virus in there, and it was supposed to be dead cultures. Of course, her findings were ignored, swept under the rug, and the vaccine was given to 160,000 people, of which 45,000 people came down with polio from the vaccine. Thousands of those around these people contracted the disease because it is spreadable to near family, and it led to severe sickness, paralyzation, and quite a few deaths. Nobody knows the exact number. All avoidable, as polio in 1955 was already on a severe decline. But the amount of money that you could make from the vaccine was on the increase. So they couldn't let that opportunity go to waste. Surely swine flu is legitimate, Tom. Please don't tell me that was corrupt. See, that was only 13 years ago. It's a little closer to home. Some of you remember when it came out. Anybody here not remember swine flu? Well, let's just take a look at some facts. The swine flu vaccine was developed in 2005 when they applied for a patent. It took 4 years until June 2009 before that patent was approved. That was convenient because in November 2009, 5 months later, swine flu broke out across the world, making the vaccine maker hundreds of millions of dollars. Now, how does a vaccine get developed and approved before there's even a disease for it? I know there's tons of other variations of SARS and this stuff, but this is the stuff you got to wake up and smell the roses, people. There is an agenda out there, and it isn't to make your life good. Is every vaccine evil? Probably not. We've got very little smallpox, measles, mumps, rubella. I'm not here to justify or to condemn every vaccine that's ever been made. I'll leave that to somebody that has the spirit of the living God in them and some medical background. But what I am telling you is the vast majority of these big vaccines we're trying to vaccinate the whole world is all a corrupt sham. It's a smokescreen to produce what they really want to do, and it is not getting you healthy. So let's talk about those just a little bit. COVID, we now know for absolute fact, is a man-made disease. We also know that if it's left alone, it causes very little death. I mean, it does cause sickness. I mean, I had it. I didn't like it. It causes very little death. The morbidity rate for the thing overall, I think, was, what, 98.9% or something? And the vast majority of those dying had other comorbidities. So what was it designed for? Because it certainly wasn't designed just so it could kill 1% of the population. That really wouldn't accomplish anything that they've set in stone. No pun intended, over in Elberton, they did set this in stone. It was set up to do three things that relate to our Bibles and our walk with Yeshua Messiah, and it's the whole purpose of this. Because you know what? A lot of you might be thinking, well, why are we doing this series? This is Shabbat. We should be learning about holiness, keeping Shabbat. Well, you know, I've taught on keeping Shabbat four or five times, and I still see people walking in with food they bought that day. They're out. They put it on Facebook. So it's like, I'm done teaching Shabbat for a while. I'll teach on Shabbat again in 2 years when we got some new faces and never heard it. Right now, we're going to talk about some stuff that hit home. Yeah. And then maybe when you realize that this is going on, the seriousness, and we're at the end, maybe then you'll come back and go, like, hey, Tom, you want to show me how I can keep Shabbat a little more holy? Because I'll be all ears, because that's my heart. I want to make sure every single person that has a heart to make it into the kingdom is there. Amen? Here is the agenda. Number one, it was designed to drive fear and to get people vaccinated so they could make the largest amount of money in pharmaceutical history. They made it with both by selling a vaccine that was not needed and the treatment of patients who were forced to take a drug that has no other value that I can see other than killing people. And I know I probably shouldn't say that being a non-medical person. All I know is people go in, they get put on this one drug, and they get put on this ventilator, and they're dead. I know a few people made it out, but that's by the grace and the mercy of God. Yeah. Number two, they designed the jab to create massive amounts of future medical attention needed by those who survived. Yeah. That's already proven, folks. This is not a subjecture. They are. You know how many people are having medical issues and problems already? How many athletes have dropped on the field, either dead or dropped with heart attacks, and they'll never play again? 25-year-old soccer players dropping like flies. Are you kidding me? Tennis players enter these tournaments. You got 80, 90 tennis players, and you got 14 pulling out with fatigue. That never happened 20 years ago. These are athletes in the prime of their life. Number three, they were testing us. And this is my theory, so I'm just going to predicate this. This is my theory. They were testing us, the world population, to see how easy it would be to get us to do something that had zero evidence we needed it. They've got to know what they're up against, because they're not putting their heads in the sand like many in the Christian world. It reminds me of this scripture in Matthew 24, and I'm going to present something to you that just hit me this week, and I could be wrong, but we're going to present it as an idea. For false messiahs and false prophets will rise up and perform great signs and wonders as to deceive, if possible, even God's chosen ones, the elect. It's a warning from Yeshua. Yep. So today, who are our false gods and prophets? Does it have to be religious? Could it be the false prophets of doctors, yep, and pharmaceutical companies, yep, promising you a free life? Yep. Guess what? Take this jab and you can go on your cruise again. Yeah. Think it's not true. There's people that are doing this. And I'm not trying to make fun of people who have done it in ignorance, but I'm talking about people who should be in the know. You know, you're walking with Messiah Yeshua 6, 8, 10 years. This should not be a mystery to you guys. If you're going to avoid being deceived, you've got to get out of your religious boxes and think outside the box. You got to remember that all this stuff is something for people who are in their prayer closet, on their face, studying the Word of God, praying, asking God to reveal things to them. They will not be caught unaware. If you just play in church for an hour and you just come in for the food and you just want the fellowship and you really spend no time during the week, you're going to get deceived. I'm sorry to put it to you. You will be deceived. I'm not the only one that can get worked up. It's not his job alone, okay? All right? It's Satan in disguise, and Christians and many messianics better start learning to discern the difference between the two, because I am tired of hearing people like, well, the Holy Spirit told me it was okay for me to get that. Well, I guarantee you the Holy Spirit is not holy that you're talking to. Because God is not going to be mocked. He's not going to tell you, keep this stuff out of your body. I want you to eat clean, but then you can go ahead and put this poison and nanoparticles and dead fetuses and all this junk that is not going to help you. He's not going to do that. That's not going to be God. That is not the Holy Spirit. It is a spirit. So let's go back to my dream, which we started this series out with. And the very last part, remember I said I cried out, I didn't want to hear about the children? I still don't want to hear about the children today because I love kids. They're precious. It kind of reminds me of the innocence that we all once were involved in. And you know what? I remember hearing a song years ago, no one is born with a broken heart. They all come into the world with great expectations. They look to you. They just want to be loved and nurtured and raised up. I feel the same way. I love kids. So hearing anything about kids is always hard for me. But we're going to just talk about a few things. I don't want to get into the hard things. Do you realize there are new laws being proposed in Psychoville states that allow the murder of your baby from 1 to 28 days old after birth? California Bill AB 2223 was proposed in February and updated on March 17th this year. According to California legislative information online, if it can be trusted, it was actually passed on April 19th. Now, the challenge is going to be how they handle the police and investigation and all that. But the fact that it was even proposed is enough to make you disgusted. California, you might go, Tom, well, what do you expect from California? You know, there's another state. It's not just them. Maryland proposed the same thing. Maryland's bill is Bill 669 in their Senate, and it would allow the killing of babies up to 28 days old. And you know what they said in their arguments? They borrowed the anti-abortion people, like you and I. They borrowed our arguments. We were arguing, like, what's the difference if you kill a baby a month before it's born or a month after it's born? It's still a baby. Well, now they're using that argument to say, well, we should give them the right to kill a baby up to 28 days. Two states. Whether we actually see it happen or not is yet to be seen. But why would they stop at 28 days? They won't. They never do. They never stop because once they get one thing, they just keep going. But I'll tell you who is happy about this, and I'm not saying this to be mean. You know who's happy about this? The Satanists. Yep. Yep. Oh, yeah. Now they can get away with the stuff they want to do without being prosecuted for it. Where does the madness end? When does lawlessness, Torahlessness, reach its peak? Because it looks like we're as far as we can go. I take a look at some of this stuff, and I go, how far can we go? And I remember, but these things must take place prior to the second coming of Yeshua Messiah. So now is the time we're going to get to the closing and the encouragement, because this stuff should wake you up. There's not a person in this congregation that comes here on a regular basis that has an excuse for not being in the know. It's not just what we present and teach up here. I know a lot of you out here are just as in the know, if not more than me. So you have other resources of people that you can find this stuff. And tucking your head between your tail is not what a believer does. We need to know what's going on so we can boldly come against the dark kingdom. Amen? Amen? So here's some encouragement. Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. You see, we still have work to do. A false message of the gospel has been proclaimed to all the world, but the true message has not hit the whole world. The true message of Yeshua, the Messiah, being a Torah teacher and teaching us to keep the Torah has not been taught to the whole world. Most people don't know that message. And that's why it's going to require each and every one of us to get involved. We can no longer be silent. We can no longer just be pew warmers on Saturday. It's no difference than a pew warmer on Sunday. Pew warmer still has the word pew in it, okay? Amen. I'm not the only one to complain on words. See, the true gospel needs to get out. We have work to do. 1 John 3:2. Dear friends, we are already God's children. Do we know that? Do you already know that? Sherry, do you know that? Tommy, Angela, Mary, we're already God's children. You two over here, I'm sorry I picked on this side. We are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that what we will be like him, that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. See, we're already a child of God. It's just a matter, are we going to start acting like it? You know, Yeshua was our example. Jim, do you know what the book of Matthew tells us how many times he missed Shabbat because it wasn't convenient? Okay. How many times, Scott, did he go to another synagogue down the road because they had a better speaker down there? Come on, wasn't it like 7 or 8 times? How many times did they just do a music festival and stay home? And you know what? We got to get serious.
Yes.
You know, it's not so you can hear me teach. It's the fellowship. It's the connecting. I like sitting down. I sat down a couple weeks ago and connected with Sonny. I hadn't talked to him in a long time. We got to connect. We got to get to know each other.
Yes.
Love doesn't happen just by your brother. Okay, I love you. No, it's connecting relationships, making friends, being there. You know what's happening when you get to know people and when you start committing to a fellowship? Things like tomorrow morning, where we got 6 people going to Miss Claudia's house to help her.
Yes.
Just to give her some assistance. It's just love. We're just going to go love on her. Not everybody can make it, but we got 6 people going. That's all we need. Because anymore, we'd be tripping over each other. But that doesn't happen if you don't connect and you don't get to know. People want to volunteer because they know Miss Claudia. She's a delight. She comes in here. She's always... In fact, how many times have I heard her complain?
Never.
0. So we're delighted to help her out. We'd be delighted to help anybody out. Revelation chapter 3 speaks to the church in Philadelphia. It could be the church in Canton. It doesn't matter. It's for us today. It's the only assembly that's not critiqued, but it's encouraged. Starting in verse 9, "Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews, but they are not, but they lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you because you have kept my word about patient endurance. And I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth." There's a million people that got these articles and they got YouTube videos on what the synagogue of Satan is. Who cares? What I want to know is, how can I avoid the hour of temptation that's coming on the whole world? Amen?
Amen.
We could do this elaborate video on what this, and what is that? What does it get you at the end of the day? Anger and hatred towards a group of people that you don't even know? Or we could focus on the beauty of what the promise is, which is deliverance. The scriptures say those who were martyred during the tribulation and those who make it all the way through have an honor beyond comprehension. It's beyond anything we could ever hope for. We get to rule and reign with Messiah Yeshua. Is that not encouragement? Because if that's not encouragement, you're in the wrong building. Sorry. Isaiah 2:2 is going to be our closing scripture for today. And this is our final encouragement. There's hundreds more like this if you read the scriptures. "And it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of Jehovah shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And many people shall come and say, let us go up to the mountain of Jehovah, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go the Torah and the word of Jehovah from Jerusalem. And he shall judge between the nations and shall decide disputes for many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares," amen, "and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of Jehovah."
Amen.
See, this is what our hope is. This is what the good news is. But in order to get here, we got to walk through that. These things must take place. So we don't fear. Here we love. We must show the world around us that we're full of love and not fear. But love does not mean ignorance. It does not mean being blind. It does not mean pretending that things are going to be okay. And it doesn't mean inventing how you think God is going to take care of you. See, God chooses different ways to take care of us. Why don't you cling to his hopes and say, Father, I'm in your hands. Whatever you see fit, I'm good with that. Trust in the Almighty. We have to love like Yeshua loved. And in the dark times ahead, it's going to be that love that gets us through. And it's going to be that love that draws the few stragglers who haven't sold their souls to the devil that are going to be drawn to us. The only question we should be asking in these dark times is, what can I do to serve you, Father? What can I do to further your kingdom? What can I do to be a light in a very, very dark time? Amen? Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We are humbled and we are amazed at the fact that you allow us to gather on Shabbats. We are humbled that you call us your children. We are humbled that you are so gracious to us that in our depravity, you loved us anyway. Father, I'm so grateful that you've called us out of darkness. I'm so grateful that we are just ever learning, always learning. Each time we open the scriptures, there's something new, something you have in store for us. Let us be like little children. Let us be humble. Let us be focused on doing your work. Let us be always willing to hear and obey what you have to say to us, Father. In these dark times that are coming, the world is going to need to see something different in us. We can no longer blend in. It may not be about how we dress and what we put on each week that we look different that way, but it's sure we should never look like the world in our actions, in the way we talk, in the way we think, in the way we carry on. So, Father, I ask for your strength and your mercy. I ask for you to have compassion on us. Deliver us in the time of stress and the time of temptation that's coming on the whole world. And Father, how you deliver us, we'll leave that up to you. For you are an awesome and a great God, and we trust you with all our hearts. And it's in your precious Son's name we pray. Yivarekka Yehovah v'ishmerekka. Ya'er Yehovah panavalecha v'ihunecha. Yisa Yehovah panavalecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face to you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance to you and bring you his peace. In the mighty name of Yeshua, amen and amen.